30-ish minutes into the podcast is when Grant and I talked to this PFF guy about Iowa and the draft and the transfer portal and what they look like in 2024. Completely different subject. Caitlin broke the record and we didn't really have a spot for it where we were going to talk about it on the walk-on. So I, Kluver, went solo for the first 30 minutes of this podcast, and Caitlin honestly deserves it. And I talk about her legacy and how unbelievable she is. So two parts. Hope you enjoy it. Let's have a day. Let's go. To the Washed Up Walk-Ons, episode 496. This is going to be a little solo in the front here. Then Grant and I get into a conversation with a guy that came to us. Content came to us. But first, I wanted to hit on a few topics. This Caitlin thing, we had already pre-recorded this episode last week. This comes out on Monday, the 22nd or something, the 19th. I don't know. We recorded this episode ahead of time. I'm recording this part on Friday morning, the morning after Caitlin just set history, and there wasn't going to be really a spot for us to talk on this as far as us as a group, where it was going to be time relevant. So I'm just going to get my thoughts. And then we'll get into the other part of the episode. Fun one today. We got approached by PFF, which is Pro Football Focus. For those of you who don't know, they are a football analytics company that focuses on the NFL and Division I football. And, they're getting into more content producing. I think it was originally just an analytics thing, and now they're sort of becoming, every company is a media company if you're smart, basically. And that's what they're getting into. And they had one of their guys come on the show. They have their premier college football podcast is run by a guy named Max Chadwick. And after talking to him, he is literally immersed in the world of college football just constantly, just 100% of the time. And he came on to help Grant and I break down the Hawks in the upcoming draft. Cooper, Tori, some other guys. Talk about how big of a transfer Caden Proctor was, obviously, and what the Hawks could look like next year, including some of our players that are sitting inside the PFF top 10 position rankings heading into 2024. So really excited for you guys to hear that episode. It's about 30 minutes long, and hopefully in the intro, the music intro to this podcast, I can point you guys directly to that if you want to just skip ahead and not hear my thoughts on Caitlin. But we got to do that, because what Caitlin did and is doing is just nuts. I feel like our show has to acknowledge it. We're an Iowa sports show. We got to have some opinion on it. I'm the host, so here it is. As I sit here and prepared this episode a little bit, I'm still seeing the clips come out last night of grown men jumping up and down like they've just won the lottery as Caitlin hits the absurd shot to set the record. I mean, where she pulled from on that thing was, I can only imagine the electricity in her body as she realizes she needs one more shot. Obviously, it's going to come on a three ball. And she pulls from, I don't know, literally 35, 40 feet. And then the net mic, or the basket mic, was just turned up to 10, and it was beautiful. Just think. I mean, that thing barely hit the net. Pretty fitting for her shot to make history, I think. Right before I hit the record button on this, I saw a tweet that someone put out. I'm looking at it right now. It just says, "Little man, watch the game and ceremony. Now he's out shooting in the dark." And that takes me back, man. It takes me back to the first few times I watched Space Jam as a kid. And you see Michael out in the dark. And that first time he dunks it. And I always thought, that's what it takes. And then that led to things like me and my brothers out. It's dark out. We got the house light on, the garage light. Could barely see the rim. Working on the things that we liked as kids. It's just crazy to see a homegrown athlete doing this. She's generational. We know this. And I know you guys don't need to listen to me talk about it, but it's like the craziest thing to watch someone who's relatable and who you can put yourself in the shoes in, or your kids could put themselves in the shoes of just a West Des Moines girl who stayed home. So, you know, here's a few things to chew on. I think first, it's rare to keep a star. Like I said, to stay home, keep a star like that who is nationally elite, top of the line, nationally elite. And we did that. We did it with Xavier Wampa. Obviously, Proctor's back in town now. I'm talking about all sports, obviously. We weren't able to do that with Proctor originally. I think, you know, back to basketball, I think back to like a guy like Harrison Barnes, one of, if not the top recruits in the country. And he was obviously pulled away by one of the blue bloods in Carolina. It's really tough when you live in this state to get a talent like that to stay home. And when you do, what has happened with Caitlin is everything you could ever dream of. You want those homegrown talents who are nationally relevant coming out of high school to make a difference in your program. So for Caitlin, who was the number four ESPN recruit in her class, to commit to Iowa, that said a lot early on about who she was as a high schooler and just as a person, and who really she is still today as a person. And I think there's plenty more examples now, but it's crazy to think that she had that pride for the state, that stay home mentality 4 years ago, 5 years ago as a high schooler. And I think we need to point some deserved recognition to Megan Gustafson. First of all, because I, you know, hopefully we get a chance to interview Caitlin someday. I mean, that would just be talk about numbies. But I would love to know the factors that went into her recruitment. It would be shocking to me if the fact that what Gustafson had done, plus Gustafson's teammates, Kathleen Doyle, several other people during that time, what they did to elevate the program right before Caitlin sort of started to get recruited and then came in to Iowa had to make a difference. So shout out to National Player of the Year in 2019 or whatever it was, Megan Gustafson, because I think she had some, you know, she put in some work there. You know, that team elevated us to an Elite Eight, I believe, top 10 rankings within the country. And that is something that as a high schooler gets you excited and buckles you down even more. Even if Caitlin had the idea like, man, I really want to stay home and be that person, it helps when you stay home and the program is also top 10, and then you can elevate it to one level higher. She's taken it a couple levels higher. The three ahead of her in that class, by the way, this was by ESPN recruiting rankings, were Paige Beckers of UConn, Angel Reese of LSU, who originally had committed to Maryland, and Cameron Brink at Stanford, who those three, alongside Caitlin and a few others in the game right now, are literally the faces of the sport. So it's funny to see how well that class has turned out for college women's basketball. There seems to be a sureness, like an inevitability about Caitlin that she's carried since stepping into Carver. I can't really describe it past that. Like, I don't know how to describe it other than that. But with Caitlin, you sort of just never doubt what is possible. I think the Indiana game and their Final Four game against South Carolina last year in that big tournament run are prime examples of that. You just knew, and you just know that if Caitlin is on the court, the other team is a little bit worried, and there's a chance to win that ball game. There's not a lot of players like that. Most players, when they come into college, I think about some of the guys I came in with, myself. Like, your goals are, man, I'd really like to find myself into some playing time. You know, maybe I can become a starter one day. And if things go really well, and I get to start by year three or four, and I can start for 2 years, 3 years, maybe I can work my way up to, like, an all-conference. All-American would be nuts. But for Caitlin, from the beginning, it sounds like, and you can read this in articles and hear just, you know, from freshman year, it was, I want to take Iowa where they've never been. I want to take us to a Final Four. I want to bring us a Final Four and a national championship. And now that's evolved into, obviously, as she has an even better self-understanding of where she's at and what she's done for the game, that's evolved into literally goals that most players would never even think to have. Like, I want to be an ambassador for the game of basketball. That's absurd. I want to take the entire sport to new heights. People are literally talking about her having the potential effect on the WNBA that Jordan had on the NBA in the late 80s and into the 90s. Like, her value to the sport and the culture is unmatched. And she's accomplishing it all. She's doing it. Guys, when I was... I know that I'm a chump. I'm the guy in the mic. But, like, as I came into Iowa as a long snapper, I just wanted to not ruin the game each Saturday. Like, I thought it was sick to be able to go out, throw some good snaps back, help the guys get an extra point, get a good punt downfield. I felt like I was killing it just by not ruining the game. And she's trying to elevate the sport across the world. Like, it's just some heavy, heavy stuff that she's dealing with. And somehow she's steady and unfazed. And at the same time, I think maybe that's not the case. I publicly, on the outside, superficially it is. She carries it better than anyone. But as a competitor and someone who has taken my own athletic pursuits pretty deep as far as, you know, again, trying to be the best long snapper in the world isn't as cool as being the best women's basketball player in the world, not even close. But I understand a little bit of like what it takes to be at the top of something, the top of a skill. And it's just, and I didn't have any of the public, I mean, it's just so 10, 20x levels further than what most of these college athletes have to deal with. And I think there's probably days where there's a lot of anxiety. I bet there's some moment, you know, Caitlin doesn't feel pressure. I bet she does feel pressure. We're all human. And I bet there's been some days where she's sitting there going, damn, this feels like the weight of the world. But she's handled it. She's handled it. I'd love to hear the way she handles it. Again, hope we get to talk to her. Better than any of us could even expect her to handle it. It's not just the obvious stuff with her. You know, the scoring record, how high she sits on other numerous all-time stat leaderboards, her points per game, assists per game, and on and on. It's the stuff like Kevin Durant talking about her on a podcast, LeBron posting her to his Instagram account, getting her own Caitlin cam on TikTok. She's got her own stream. They don't even show the basket. They just show her running around. Celebs flocking to Iowa City to watch her play the game, like Sudeikis earlier this year. Theo Vaughn and Caleb Presley last night. Getting shout-outs on the record by people like Barack Obama, Ashton Kutcher, Lil Wayne, Tom Brady, the Manning brothers. The list goes on. It's... She's not just national. She is international. I sit and wonder, what's it like to be the best? When everyone files out of Carver and goes home for the night. And the celebration with family and friends ends. And Caitlin ends up at her house or her apartment. And it's just her. It's time to lay down and put your head on the pillow to go to sleep for the night. What thoughts are running through her mind? I'd love to know. Because her level of greatness is and has... It's not and has never been expected by anyone who pursues the top of a sports career. Right? Like, LeBron was the anointed one. He was the chosen one. And even he, as he came up, even if he believed he was going to be everything that he's become, you still don't know what to expect when you get to the top of something like that. Is it lonely at the top? They say it is. And she might not even know yet. She's only 4 years into this thing. She could go have a 15, 20-year WNBA career. I don't think where she's at right now in the context of what she means to the game of women's basketball is even close to where she's going to be when it's all said and done. She's got such a high ceiling. I do know this. In terms of college women players, she's the greatest of them all. She is the true GOAT, greatest of all time when it comes to college women's basketball players. And do not let anybody on Twitter tell you otherwise with some cherry-picked stats. talking about championships. Brianna Stewart is the GOAT because she has four championships with UConn. Don't even get into the conversation. If someone brings it up that Caitlin is not the greatest, and this is obviously biased, but it's pretty much unbiased if you just look at the numbers. She's the best to ever do it. It's like truly not even close. Championships are a team stat, and if you want to talk about what you do for the team, where she has brought this team, this program, there's no other player that's ever done close to what she's done for the brand, for the logo that she's worn on her chest, the one that we all love so much. You can go down the list. Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, Maya Moore, Holdsclaw, Lisa Leslie, Sabrina Ionescu, Brianna Stewart, Kelsey Plum. Yes, I had to copy some of those down from a quick little piece I read by Jay Billis, which I recommend. It's about 2 minutes long. Read that about an hour before I recorded this. All of those greats, it doesn't matter. Caitlin is the most electric player the college game has ever seen. Her range is a big part of it. Like, people ask why. What's different about her? It's the range. It's the reason why people like Steph Curry. Steph is like, what, six? Is Steph 6'6", or is he 6'3"? He's very common body-wise. He's not LeBron. He's not Kevin Durant. He's not Jokic. He's not Giannis. He doesn't look physically like he's the GOAT of the game. But because of what he did with his range shooting-wise, people love to see bombs drop from all over the court. It's why people like Torrey Taylor when he hits 60-yard punts. It's why people watch Justin Tucker in the NFL and Harrison Butker hit 60-yard field goals. It's why we like the home run. Distance, hang time, there's something about it in sports. And her shot has that. Again, the record shot, she pulled from what seemed like half court. In motion, falling away. So there's that, right? There's also, yes, she's benefiting from the modern age of social media. Like, sure, Lisa Leslie and Swoops. We never even talked about the Swoops stuff on here. Swoops hates her, I guess. But they didn't have the advantage of what TikTok and social media and Twitter and everybody having a podcast nowadays. That obviously news gets around faster. She's benefiting from the current day levels of that. But there is a percentage of this that of this whole equation that is different. She has it. We've all heard about the it factor. And it's called that because you can't really put words to it. And she's got it. Whatever it is, she has it. And it draws people in like nobody has ever done before. Sadly, for us, the Iowa fans, who hopefully in Caitlin's pursuit here just turns into women's basketball fans in general, and obviously Caitlin Clark fans. But sadly for the Iowa fans, I think she's gone in 2 months. They're going to finish out the regular season here. Hopefully they can get a Big Ten tournament victory in that little postseason. And then, you know, probably a 2 seed, maybe a 1 seed if they can play themselves back up into it here as we head into the NCAA tournament. And that's always a crapshoot. I think Sweet 16 is probably a guarantee with Caitlin. She's not going to let that not happen. But anything past that, you're playing a potential top 15 team in the country. We've already shown that we can lose to Nebraska, to Kansas State, Ohio State. Who knows how we're going to deal with them in the postseason here. There's some holes in this team. And if Hannah and Kate Martin play really, really well and Caitlin's on, then yeah, it's hard to beat this team. I think they probably could give even number one undefeated South Carolina a run for their money. But it doesn't seem as sure of a thing as last year. And after that, I think she's gone. She has probably already made enough money to live comfy for the rest of her life with proper investment. Sounds like she's got a good team around her that's helping her with that stuff. And in absence of that, her reputation that she's already built and will continue to build will be profitable until she dies. If you're the GOAT of a sport, like the spearhead of an entire sport in the world, she's going to have media opportunities and money-making opportunities, appearances, speeches, coaching if she wants to, like, minus, you know, not even counting the salary of 6 figures she's going to make for the next 15 to 20 years in the WNBA. Like, she's fine. Oh, by the way, all of her endorsements are national. State Farm. I mean, I guess Hy-Vee is more of a regional thing. Nike, Gatorade, H&R Block. The list goes on and on and on. And none of those go away. You think any of those companies want to disconnect from Caitlin Clark when she leaves Iowa? There might not be the same fanfare. And you know, to be frank, we probably see and think it's a lot bigger than it is nationally because we're in this Iowa ecosystem, sort of a Iowa echo chamber on social, mostly Twitter. But those companies are still going to want to attach themselves to that product. That is Caitlin's game as she heads on to the professional level. And I think that when it comes to greats, I just read Mamba Mentality a month ago, and I could sort of listen and hear this in Kobe's words that he wrote in that book. When it comes to the greats, they want to play against the other greats. It's not that college basketball is boring or that she doesn't get challenged, but if there's a bigger challenge out there, they seek that. They want it. She's got the record. I think she's good. And I don't know how she fares. It doesn't matter who you are in sports. There is always an adjustment period to another level of speed. They always talk about that. And, you know, what's the speed of the game? That was a huge thing for us when we got to college in Iowa City for football. The guys who we've talked to, our teammates who have gone on to the NFL, they talk about the speed of the NFL game. And it takes a second to catch up. I don't think she'll have any issue getting there. But I don't think she steps on the court night one for the Indiana Fever, assuming they draft her, and, you know, she throws down 34. Would I be surprised? No. Because some part of me does think that when you get onto a pro roster, you know, like Caitlin, what she's doing right now, the defense, especially this year, and of course, we've seen Kate and, you know, Hannah went for 47. Like, we have other players that can hurt you, but not consistently. Gabby's been sort of off this year as a shooter. You can put a lot of your defensive currency into stopping Caitlin. We saw it with Maryland. We saw it with Nebraska, Ohio State. All the teams that have given them fits have spent a lot of time on Caitlin, and they've somehow gotten in her head to maybe not limit her. She still ends up getting her 25, 30, 35 points a game. But it makes her work harder and gets her out of flow, and everything runs through her. So the rest of the team suffers. In the NBA, WNBA, she's going to have four other studs on the court with her. The WNBA, while not a super exciting league to watch currently, the level of play within the league is pretty level, pretty balanced across every team. It's a saturated league. It's very hard to make it. Megan Gustafson was the National Player of the Year. It's a center's game in the WNBA, and she still struggles to stay on a consistent roster. She's been bounced around all over on those pro teams and has made most of her career playing internationally. So you put Caitlin on a roster with four other studs, and now they kind of have to guard everybody. I think, if I'm not mistaken, oh gosh, and now I'm going to blank on her name. She like announces for a TV network, Big Ten Network. The player for, did she play for South Carolina last year? I have no idea. The Post. And like, you can't just double, triple team Caitlin. And we all know what happens when you leave Caitlin open or you single guard her and you start getting that person screened on. And it's just, it's not going to end well. So I wouldn't be surprised if Caitlin still is able to drop 25, 30 a game. And regardless, even if she doesn't start that way, I think she gets there. And I think all of that she wants. She wants to go attack that. Regardless of what she does professionally, she has literally become an icon living. I think that's a music quote, like a rap quote somewhere. And she's an example that, like, for me as a 29-year-old, in my own personal pursuits, when I watch her play and dominate on the court, me as a competitive, like, sport-focused guy, I literally question myself of, like, I see that greatness and I think, how could I be better in the stuff that I do? How could I put the same tenacity and effort and grind and elite focus into, like, the CrossFit that I do and how I am a dad and a husband and how I can take that to my, you know, to the podcast and the brand and the business? Like, that's the kind of player that she is. She inspires me. And more than that, she's the kind of person who I can point at for my own daughter. And she's still a little young, but as she grows up and other players like her, and I can say, hey, if you want to be different, like, hey, Ken Diesel, you want to be different? You want to be good at sports? Like, if that's something you want to do, see Caitlin, follow her lead. Go as she goes. She's a great role model. We've been lucky to have her. Lucky as hell to have her in the Hawkeye uniform. And you can only hope that as a brand, Iowa capitalizes and continues to build off the momentum she's given us. I think that we will. It feels like we have high recruits interested in coming to the University of Iowa. It's likely we'll never see another Caitlin. I mean, it's she's that big of a deal that it's likely we'll never see anyone, definitely in the Iowa women's basketball program. But more importantly, we might not see another athlete with her type of importance, significance at any other sport in Iowa in the next 50 to 100 years. Like, it's her and Niall Kinnick. And that was 80 years ago, 90 years ago. So, I don't know. I don't know about Kevin, Drake, Gary's thoughts. Again, this is a personal thing. I didn't expect to go for 30 minutes on this either. 25, 30 minutes, but that's where it went. I just wanted to get my thoughts out and see if we couldn't just do a little thing that celebrated her and the team. I mean, the other Michigan, literally, they got her a gift and they all signed it. Like, when is your opponent, the enemy, getting you a gift for what the stuff that you're doing? Can you imagine Christian McCaffrey? Or I guess it would have been the other way. It would have been like us after he returned the punt on us, like running over to the other sideline and like giving him a watch. Like, hey, we got you a Rolex because you're so fucking good. I mean, it's ridiculous. Oh, man. I really, really hope this. It's all we can hope for at this point. Again, especially if she leaves. I just hope to see them make a run here in the tournament. I really do. Speaking of running, I mentioned this quickly last week. I don't know how many of you like to run races. I'm not sure what our demographic looks like as far as how you guys do exercise. Running is obviously a pretty common one. The Damn to DSM, the legendary Damn to DSM, used to be Damn to Damn Race in Des Moines. Half marathon is coming up, and your boy will be in that race. I want you to join me. Listen up. Listen close. Hit the button on your phone. Turn me up to on the volume. Seriously. To better yourself in life, you got to do something hard, right? And I know that so many of you guys and gals, even if you aren't fitness freaks, have said at some point, maybe I'll run a marathon. Like, maybe I'll run a half or a full marathon. This is your opportunity. Here's why you need to sign up for this today. Go to the race website. Search Damn to DSM on Google. It'll come up. When you go to sign up for this race, use the code WASHED. WASHED, washed. You will get 10% off of your race sign up. You and your friends, a group of 5, 10 of you, hey, run it together. The more the merrier, will get that discount off of your race sign up. Plus, you get an elite Hawks by a Million custom bib for race day. You'll be one of one, basically. There's going to be 3,000-4,000 people that run this race. There could be only like a few dozen of us that wear this bib. How sick is that? We could literally have the walk-on army running this thing. And you have the chance to race me. I'm going for a sub 140. So at your own risk. But run it anyway. It doesn't matter if you're going to run this thing in 3 hours. Join me, please. I want you to. This race is sick. Like, the course is beautiful. I've run it twice. It finished, you start high up on the dam. It's a downhill race, pretty flat for most of it. It finishes in downtown Des Moines. Everyone basically starts drinking and has a party. Again, code WASHED. I'm begging you, please sign up. This is so fun. Give yourself something this spring to train for, a goal to kind of keep in the forward of your brain as you train and exercise. As the sun starts to come out and it starts to warm up here in Iowa, do yourself a solid and just make yourself proud on this. Code WASHED at the Damn DSM sign up. Another quick note before we get to the PFF side of the show, the golf outing, we mentioned that as well. It's getting massive. I don't want to give too much away, but we have Carson King on the board of this thing, the director's board. unofficially is like me, Carson King, and then Josh, who's a listener, part of the Walk On Army. And he's kind of setting us up as far as like the golf course goes and a lot of logistical stuff. This thing is huge. Like I can't even explain how elite this golf tournament's going to be. I've had a couple people reach out. The sign up, I almost feel bad because there's going to be so many people who don't get a spot at this. It's going to be an annual thing. I promise we're going to keep doing this. And maybe we expand it to like one in Des Moines, one in the east side of the state. I don't know what the potential is for it in the future, but if you, on the sponsor side of things, you own a company or you work for somebody who looks for opportunities like this, if you'd like to have a legitimate conversation about sponsorship, email that inquiry to kidsbyamillion@gmail.com. Kidsbyamillion, KIDSBYAMILLION@gmail.com with your interest. Thank you guys for listening to me ramble. And maybe you didn't listen and you're just going to pop right in here to listen to the PFF stuff. But regardless, shout out to Caitlin. Congrats to her on breaking the record. And now you get to listen to our guy, Grant, and me and Max talk about some Hawkeye football players from an analytical perspective. Thanks again. Hope you enjoy this next part. We'll get to that right now. Welcome into the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast special episode today. Something that I didn't have planned. Sitting at work yesterday, get an email from Max's coworker here. Hey, you want to have Max Chadwick on to talk about Iowa Hawkeyes in the draft? Talk about next season? I was like, yeah. Yeah, sure. I'll take a free episode. We're in the off season. Max, you run a podcast. I'm sure you understand the need for content. When a free episode comes to you, you take it. So today on the show, Max Chadwick, host of Preferred Walk-On. Love the namesake, by the way. We love that on this show. And a college football show with Max Chadwick. Can you tell me a little bit about that before we get into this?
Yeah, first of all, guys, thanks for having me on. I know Dave and I begged you guys to have me on, so I appreciate it. But yeah, man, the Preferred Walk-On name, a little tongue-in-cheek. You know, I don't want to make it too serious or anything like that. And yeah, so we came up with the name Preferred Walk-On. It's me and this guy Dalton Wasper. Now I hate how it's Preferred Walk-On with Max Chadwick, because it was originally just by myself. And then I added a wonderful co-host, that Dalton Wasserman, now, who's works at PFF with me, and he's been amazing. So it's pretty funny how it keeps saying with Max Chadwick. It's like, that was actually like the two of us now. But yeah, it's been fantastic, man. We're interviewing a bunch of great players, a bunch of great coaches, doing cool episodes. And yeah, like, we interviewed Cooper DeJean last year, which is super cool. Connor Colby we interviewed too. Yeah, man, it's been an awesome ride so far. I'm excited to see where it goes.
I did a little bit of like, okay, this Max guy, I got to figure out who this is. What's he doing? So I'm on the Twitter, dude. You're all over the place. You guys are just, you have to have an insane day to day. You're just like constantly college football. Like, does your mind ever get off of college football?
No, it doesn't. And that's why I joined PFF and have the job I do now. It was like, when I used to be a kid, I was obsessed with football, and my parents instituted a rule at dinner where first 5 minutes of dinner, let Max talk about football. After that, you can't talk about it anymore. Like, we're not letting you do it anymore. So
very smart by your mom.
Mom was like, my dad loved talking football, but even my dad was like, dude, I can't talk to you about the best offensive lineman in the NFL anymore. So I knew at that point when I was like 8 years old and that obsessed, and I knew based off my athletic genes that there's no way I'm going to be able to play football at a high level. Yeah. I knew at that level, I was like, hey, I should probably try to make this a career. So this has been honestly a dream come true. And to answer your question, no, my mind does not ever come off of college football ever.
Your parents were just going to bed like, what was he talking about? Some receiver from a D3? I don't understand.
Like, they're like, this kid, man. So thankfully it worked out for me. And yeah, I'm living the dream, man.
How did we end up at PFF? Was this podcast something that started before PFF and they picked you up, or it was once you were employed there, then you guys started it?
No. So I started, basically how I started it was, I was a writer for PFF, college football writer. And Dave Safar, who you guys interacted with, he is incredible at getting just amazing guests. So, like, I interviewed Caleb Williams. I interviewed Olu Fashanu, Joe Alt, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, like a bunch of just amazing players. And, like, we turned them into articles, which is really cool. But I was like, man, this is like the fact that these are just sitting on my hard drive right now, like 20-minute one-on-one with Caleb Williams, like not out there. So I asked PFF, I was like, hey, is it cool if I just start my own YouTube channel and just post them? And they're like, yeah, go ahead. Ended up doing pretty well. They said, hey, let's make this a show because we don't have a college football show. Did that, added Dalton to the show. And yeah, it's kind of taken off from there. So yeah, it's been fun, man. The YouTube actually was my old podcast I used to have with my friends, the Boomer Bust, which is like an NFL draft show. So we kind of just turned it into a preferred walk-on now. But yeah, man, it's been awesome so far. And I'm like I said, I'm the off season. It sucks that college football season's over, but the off season is always so much fun because that's usually when we get the most interviews. Yeah. So I'm extremely excited for this off season for sure.
Well, we're excited to have you. I'm curious, how well versed are we with the Iowa Hawkeyes? I know from my standpoint, from following PFF from a distance, I'm not totally bought into the. I'm not like a super follower, but it seems like PFF loves Iowa guys. I don't know, something about it.
We do.
Am I correct in that?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, I'm pretty well versed. I'm a Big Ten guy. I grew up a huge Penn State fan. So I know Iowa pretty well. And yeah, I mean, we love defensively, especially, man, you guys have some studs, even coming back to school next year. Sure we'll get to it in a second. But yeah, man, I am pretty well versed in Iowa, which is a good and bad thing, whether or not you're watching the offense or defense. So
a little bit of a polarizing few years we've had in Iowa City.
Right.
So let's get into it. I want to start. I know we on the email we talked, hey, let's talk about maybe the transfer portal, who we got coming back next year. I want to start, though, with the draft here in a few months. And the guys, you mentioned Cooper DeJean. We've got Torrey Taylor headed to the Combine. That just came out yesterday. I'm not sure how well-versed you are with guys like Logan Lee or Joe Evans. Mm-hmm. What do we think about those guys? Where do you see – I know I watched your video, your first mock draft that came out a couple days ago, and I think – you took Cooper somewhere for that.
I think I took him to the Vikings at 11.
Yes, the Vikings. Yeah. Yeah. So
and
obviously
did not like it, but yeah.
Yeah, and obviously a highly rated safety cornerback. He got hurt. That sucks. Mm-hmm. In Iowa City we had the is he going to come back? Like, will he give us one more year? Obviously, he decided not to. So what do we see with Cooper? What makes him so great from your guys' standpoint? And where do you see him going that high? Is he a potential top 10 pick?
I think he can. I don't know if he will go in the top 10. I think he's more of a top 20 guy. I would probably take him top 10. I mean, he is a guy that, like, I think he might be the best corner in this year's draft. I think just from a tape standpoint, like, he's such – it's almost like Dalton put it perfectly when you're watching Cooper DeJean. It's like – it's just almost like boring watching, man, because it's just like it's so good. It's so technically sound. He's such an incredible player in coverage. He's so versatile. You could play safety, like you mentioned. You could play corner. I would start him at outside corner. I think he deserves a shot out there.
You think a true corner spot for him?
Yes, I think he deserves it. I think he at least deserves a shot there.
He's breaking down barriers here. Coach's kid. You know, blue collar.
I know the Rashard Mendenhall tweet kind of went around, and people were like, man, thanks to Iowa. I mean, the only two guys on the
Riley Moss.
Moss and Cooper DeJean. So, but yeah, man, he's such a great run defender. He could play in the slot. He could play, even played strong side linebacker sometimes for Iowa. Played great in coverage. And then he's just a freak athlete, dude. Like, he's such a great athlete. Hopefully he's able to participate in the combine. We get some numbers on him. But, I mean, look back at what he did in high school. I think he set the school record for passing yards, passing touchdowns, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, interceptions. Also had more career basketball points than Harrison Barnes. You watch his basketball highlights; it's ridiculous. It's the dunks he's got.
I was going to ask if you'd seen them; they're insane.
Oh my god, dude! And then you got he's a state champion in the hurdles, state champion in the 200 meter dash, and then he played 3 years of varsity baseball. It's like, dude, I would kill for any of those, like, in my high school career, but he's got all of them. So yeah, he's a superstar athlete with excellent tape. I mean, great technique. I mean, it's almost like the perfect package, honestly. So I think he's worth a top 10 pick. I don't know if he will go that high. I think he will go around the 15-20 range, but he might be the top corner in this year's draft, and he is the top corner right now on PFS big board.
I think what you said there, your partner said there, like, it's almost boring. It's so true. It's like, when he first started playing special teams at Iowa and then he got onto the defense, you wondered, like, you know, you saw those highlights from high school and you're like, okay, but he's playing like 1A in Iowa, yeah. Right? Like, is he really going to make other people look like that? And then you watch these highlights of him like toe tapping the interception in the end zone and some of these other things. It looks like he's playing in slow motion and everybody else is like trying so hard. He truly is just one of those guys who's just built different. Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's so absurd, man. And the punt return, I remember that unfortunately got called back, which was BS. Ugh. But yeah, man, it's just like that guy, his tape, which is, again, boring is like the best thing you could say for a corner. Like, corner and offensive line, you want to be boring. He is kind of like that, man, where it's just like, yeah, don't even look to number three side of the field, man, because he's going to be locked down. So, yeah. I think he's a bona fide star. I would take him top 15 at least, but he probably will go in the top 20 if I had to make a prediction.
Can we also take Torrey Taylor top 15? I think he's worth the value.
he's gotten a lot of work, that's for sure. So he's one of the most experienced punters, I think, to ever come out of college football. Often he was out there. But he definitely will be probably an NFL punter next year for sure.
Do you think, like, you see him getting drafted?
Yeah, I probably. I mean, I can't imagine. I'm trying to think of the other punters who would be even up there. He definitely was one of the best punters in the country. So not only was he like out there a ton, like he also was like extremely efficient. I think there's definitely a chance he gets drafted. If not, he's definitely gonna be one of the top punters in this year's draft and probably will be a starting punter in the NFL next year.
I hope so. I think he is. I'm a former long snapper, so I'm pretty well versed. I'm pretty into the special teams, and I think what people downplay there is playing in Iowa. You know, you get the first half of the season and the ball flies real nice. It's warm. It's
yeah.
The weather's 60, 70 degrees. It starts to get cold. And if you're into the stats enough, the guys in the southern part of the country, their stats don't drop off as much as some of the guys in the northern part do. So when a guy in the Big Ten is able to put up the numbers consistently like Torrey has, yeah. I think that's what's the most impressive. His leg strength is just so crazy. Like, he didn't even really know how to kick a consistent American style spiral punt until like last year. He would just kick like the Aussie style, like pooch punts, but he'd hit them 50 yards. Like, it's just,
yeah,
he's just insane. So that's exciting. In the email mentioned transfer portal. I don't know if Iowa has any guys in the portal.
Dave might've put that. He put that for, I think, a lot of the emails. So yeah, I don't know.
Just as like a stock. Like, yeah, I don't think it's interesting. Iowa hasn't picked up anybody as much as we did last year. We do have some guys entering the portal, and usually those guys end up sort of, I think Labus, the backup quarterback, ended up at Central Michigan.
Well, we do have one pretty big transfer.
Well, we did bring in five-star tackle Caden Proctor.
Dude, huge. Might have been a little tampering on your guys' end. But honestly,
no, there's no tampering.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying college football now. No, I think that's BS anyways. I think that, you know, people are going crazy over that for no reason. But, man, that's a huge get. I mean, he was, I think, the best tackle in this year's portal. He kind of started off rough for Alabama. But, again, like, if you're a left tackle in the SEC – starting for Alabama immediately as a true freshman, like, I would expect it to be rough for you. He actually played really well down the stretch of the season, especially in that Georgia game. He played really well in the SEC title game. I'm excited for him, man. I think he could be a future first round pick. I think that getting him as your left tackle for the next 2 years, like, that's a pretty big get for Iowa.
It might have been PFF that put it out. I think he might have graded out as the best tackle in the college football playoff.
It might have been, yeah. I gotta look it up, but yeah.
So that's interesting. He did struggle a little bit, which is what prompted the text message, I believe, from one of the Iowa staff members. Like, hey, hang in there, man. Like, you're doing all right. He was in a buzzsaw, though. That's a buzzsaw you run into.
Yeah.
Regardless of whatever position you're starting at as a true freshman in the SEC, physically, obviously, has all the tangible things you would want. I mean, he is a literal building out there. He's built like a truck. and Iowa lacked some, you mentioned Connor Colbert earlier. He's been one of the brighter spots in Iowa's offensive line situation over the past couple of years. It's been shaky a little bit. We've been trying to find some of those guys like Linderbaum, like Werfs, going back even further, guys like Brandon Sheriff. We haven't had one of those guys really step up to the forefront. Obviously, Caden fills that role here as we move into this season. But he's a huge anchor for our line, and hopefully it gets a lot better from there. Let's talk coming back next season, 2024. Iowa had, specifically on the defensive side of the ball, Iowa had like everybody just get together and be like, yeah, we'll run it back one more year. And I noticed that on your, you guys laid out like PFF's top 101 players from the 2023 season. Cooper, not the highest Hawkeye on that list. Mm-hmm. It was his counterpart, Sebastian Castro. Tell me about Castro. What do you guys see from him?
Dude, he is a star, man. So just kind of preview. So I actually, starting today, I started dropping my top 10 returning players at every position list. Unfortunately, Cade McNamara did not make my top 10 quarterbacks that came out today. But I will say that Sebastian Castro, I think right now I have him number 3 for corners, which is crazy. You know, we got guys like Will Johnson coming back, Benjamin Morrison, Takerio Davis, Travis Hunter, Jabbar Muhammad. Like, Sebastian Castro was fantastic this past year. A little bit older, so I don't know how good of a prospect he'll be. He's a 6-year senior now coming back. But I believe he's the most valuable corner in the country this past season, according to our wins above average metric. He's been fantastic. Not great in single coverage, but, man, he's great in zone. Again, he's a lot like DeJean, not like a freak athlete sense, but in the sense of like he's just a great run defender, really solid in coverage, could play in the slot, played a little outside too. I like Sebastian Castro a lot. I honestly think he was one of the most underrated players in college football this past season, and probably still one of the most underrated players in college football. Like, I don't think, when you talk about the top returning corners in the country, not a lot of people talk about Sebastian Castro. They should be. So I think that, yes, losing DeJean hurts, but Iowa has another superstar, a couple superstars in their secondary. Honestly, I got Xavier Nwankwo and Quinn Schultz right now in my top 10 safeties. So they got some really, really good players in that back end. So I think Iowa's secondary is still, even without DeJean, is still one of the best in the country.
Studs, dude. They're so, like, they're coming, they're bringing back an absolute, like, squad on that defense.
Dude, and then I got two linebackers in my top 10 too. You got Jay Higgins, yes, and Nick Jackson. I love
coming back.
Yeah, it's like now, the Iowa defense is alive and well, man.
Well, they're alive. They're just geriatric. We're very old.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is interesting that you mentioned Castro as a prospect, because that is something that NFL teams look at, right? Like, it's NFL, not for long. A lot of these guys, their likelihood to stay in the league past 3, 4, 5 years, it's just not really there. Injury is a big part of that. The game is played at such an intense, high speed. The playoffs were watching the playoffs last month was an example of that. It's just like every hit on TV makes my body hurt. And it's tough to draft a guy who's like 25 and like could have a family, you know?
Yeah.
You want that 21, 22 year old whose body still like doesn't have the miles on it. But you're right. We've got Nick Jackson, who transferred in last year, one of the bigger transfers from last year. Like, second in the Big Ten in tackles behind Jay Higgins, who had like 170,000 tackles. Dude, so we have those two in the middle, and then the DBs that we just talked about. It's crazy. Iowa's defense, I don't know if you guys have done anything like this, but they have to be projected as a top 5, top 3 defense again next year.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet, but I can't imagine. Dude, not even like, okay, just looking purely at the talent, yes, they'd be up there. Then you add in the best defensive coordinator in the country, and Phil Parker is coaching up that defense. Like, that adds, like, it almost like you could put me and a bunch of my buddies out there and have those 11 guys. If Phil Parker's coaching us up, like, I'd probably put us in the top 15 or so. So he is just a genius. And I talked to Cooper about him. He's like, dude, Phil is, like, unbelievably good. So he's the best DC in the country. He literally won Iowa games this past year, won them games the year before. I saw a stat, or I actually looked up a stat, where it was like the least efficient offenses in college football in 2022 and what their record was. The top 10 worst offenses in the country in terms of EPA per play were all like 2-10, 1-11, 3-9. And then Iowa was like, what, 9-3 last year?
10-2.
Yeah, it was just like, he's a miracle worker.
Phil Parker, 11-1 without the Minnesota thing.
Yeah, so he's a miracle worker, Phil Parker. So, he's the best DC in the country. And then you got superstars in that defense that are veteran players, like you guys mentioned. It's gonna be a really good Iowa defense once again next year.
It's unbelievable. Grant, don't let me hog the mic here. If you have any questions or anything.
No, it's good. I mean, I'm trying to get as much knowledge from Max as I can. I don't want to interrupt him at all.
This is our student intern, Max, and I see a lot of parallels between you two. I feel like Grant could come work for PFF. I hope they don't
steal. I love it, man. Yeah, absolutely. So you guys both played? I was looking at your stuff earlier. So you guys both played at Iowa or?
Grant did not. Grant is...
You know, intramural fullback.
Okay. Love it.
So, so my other co-host has a real job, as we like to say. He's got a sales job that works during the day. I do this plus some other stuff as my job from full-time from home. So that's why I can hop on at noon and record these things. Grant's our student intern. He goes to the University of Iowa. He's the only one that's still enrolled at the university. But yeah, I played long snapper, played it from 13 to 17. So got to play in some of those pretty fun upsets, cool wins. Got destroyed by Christian McCaffrey in the 2015 Rose Bowl. Not a big deal.
Oh my God. That was first play of the game, right? Didn't he take it to the house first play?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Allegedly.
It's just nice to know he does that to the NFL players, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's our only saving grace.
Yeah, that's not a guy I would feel too bad about letting him score, you know, three times or whatever he did in that Rose Bowl. But yeah.
What do you guys see as far as this Iowa team as a whole in the new Big Ten? I'm curious about that.
Yeah, so obviously new offensive coordinator, that'll help. I like Kay McNamara a lot, man. I think he's a good game manager quarterback. I think they got to get back to running the football.
That's a buzzword, by the way. Game manager, Brock Purdy.
Honestly, like, dude, people like look down on that. It's like, dude, you need that sometimes. Like,
you want that.
Nobody could ever, not everyone could be Patrick Mahomes out there. Like, you need sometimes a guy who's just going to run the system. The problem was for Iowa that the system was pretty bad last year, but now it should be hopefully better. It's tough because that defense is so good and you want to say, but now that you're not in the Big Ten West, there's no such thing as a Big Ten West anymore. Right. It's not like you're playing, you know, other teams that are like you and that they have no offense but a great defense. So it's not like you can get into these 7-3 slugfests anymore. It's tough. I do think Iowa's going to be still a pretty solid team next year, probably a top 30, 35 team in the country. But yeah, like you mentioned, I haven't looked at their schedule, so I don't know quite who the big teams they have on it. But I do think Iowa – we'll definitely compete, and I do think that they are still going to have a great defense. And once you have that, I mean, it's going to be – they should still have a winning record next year for sure and maybe still compete as one of the top, you know, six or seven teams in the Big Ten next year.
It's tough because with 18 teams – now, like, if you have 10-team conferences, it's really – you can place your expectations in a spot where, hey, we should be able to get to – a conference championship once every 5 years, at least once every decade. Mm-hmm. Now with 18 teams in a league, like there's going to have to be some serious readjustments of expectations and success during the regular season because 2 out of 18 make it. And generally like the same 4 teams are going to be fighting for those 2 spots. Like there's just a hierarchy that's there. And you bring in teams like Oregon and Washington. I know that the interesting thing is in the new Big Ten, I think 5 or 6 teams have new head coaches going into next year. Washington is one of them. Washington, Grant, remind me if I'm wrong.
It's a Jed Fish.
Yeah. Well, but are they coming to Iowa City or do we go there?
Oh, they're coming here.
Yeah. Okay, so they come to Iowa City. I think we play UCLA next year. Yeah. They have a new head coach.
Yeah.
So maybe a chance to establish.
It. Yeah. I'm looking at that schedule, man. It actually is way easier than I expected it to be. Sure. I mean, you got Ohio State in Columbus, and that's I think Ohio State's if they're not the number one team in the country, they're number two. So
really, going into next year,
I think I put Georgia number one, but I think Ohio State is number two. I think what they brought back everyone, and they added one of the best running backs in the country, Quinshon Judkins, the best safety in the country, and Caleb Downs. Like it's just
they got
stupid.
Judkins,
yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, and Travion Henderson's back. So they have 2 of the top 6 running backs in the country next year. Like, it's absurd. So I honestly, I haven't made it. So I predicted Michigan before the year last year to win it all. I haven't decided yet, but I think I'm leaning Ohio State this year. I think they are loaded this year. But I'm looking at your schedule, dude. I mean, like you said, Washington, I think, is going to take a big step back next year. Without DeBoer, without Penix and Ogunbowale.
Their whole offense was gone, right?
Their whole offense is gone. And they have a new quarterback as well. I don't know, man. I think you guys are gonna, actually, this is a easier schedule than I think. So
7.5 wins is what they came out at early, the books. And I think every year it's like Iowa over.
I would take the over on that for sure.
There's 8 wins on that schedule. Definitely.
Definitely. I'm looking right now as guaranteed losses. I only see Ohio State. And I know Iowa State might be pretty good next year and you guys play them. I don't see another team in the top 25 that I had my. I think the only team that you play as a top 25 team is probably Ohio State. I don't see another one on the schedule.
I'd love to know. Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay.
11-1? I think.
Can we lock that in right now,
Max? I don't think it's great. If the Hawks go 11-1, I don't think people are sitting there like mind blown. I really don't.
No.
And it's probably because if the offense, like we've talked about, can get that's the biggest question. It's like, okay, Iowa's been dead on offense for 3 years. If they can do anything, like if we can just get anything out of them and they can surprise some people, well, then this team becomes scary. Because if this team can score 25 points, then Phil Parker is going to put the clamp down and it's going to be over. Like, so I don't know.
And a 12 team playoff too. Like,
well,
in Iowa, like if they go 11-1, like they're in the playoff. If they go 11-1,
you don't even have to make that. That's the fun thing about being in one of the two big conferences. If you're in the SEC or the Big Ten, the third and fourth best teams have good chances to make the 12 team playoff. Definitely the third in both of those conferences. Yeah.
Dude, I was looking at it. So if there's a 12 team this year, every undefeated team obviously would have made it. Every 11-1 team would have made it. And every 10-2 Power 5 team would have made it besides Oklahoma. So like if you go 10-2, you're almost locked into a playoff spot. So I think that's certainly looking at that schedule right now, I can't believe honestly how easy the schedule is. So Ohio State's really the only one that I'm like, oh, that's the only one that I'm like, yeah, that's going to be a loss. Other than that, I think every other game on the schedule is certainly winnable for Iowa.
I'll take it. We'd love to hear that.
I'll take it.
Grant, you got anything you want to talk about? Any other players on Iowa that you want to?
Yeah, well, I'm curious. So is there anyone who maybe isn't on one of your top 10 lists that you could see rising up here by November of this year? Like, oh, watch out for this guy.
That's a good question. I'm trying to look right now to see what I don't have.
Asking from Iowa, Grant?
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
Let me give my opinion.
Or if you got just like a cool guy,
throw out one. I'm
Oregon
trying to think
State you want
to
throw out. I mean, I'll listen to it.
It's actually tough because with Iowa, all of them are studs. Like they're either studs because they're old and they've been around, or like we have some guys that are going to be stepping into positions. I guess where does I feel like Caden could be, if he's not one of your top 10 offensive linemen, I feel like he could be. This could be a year. You know, Tristan balled out in his second year, and Lindy was very, very high. Lindy's a PFF guy to the bone. Like PFF, and Linderbaum is the golden child. You know, whatever formula you guys have for grading people,
he's like 95 plus for like 2 years in a row. It was just absurd. I think I haven't decided. So I haven't finalized my tackles yet. Caden is right on the cusp because that really. You're looking just purely off last year. He wouldn't be a top 10 tackle, but like you got to project too, which like that makes it weird because like he is like projection wise, like he has some of the best tools out of any tackle in the country. And he did it. Like I said, he played a lot better down the stretch of the season. So yeah, I haven't quite decided on that yet. He'd probably be the guy that I'd say if he doesn't make my top 10 tackles, which again, I haven't decided that yet. He's definitely right on the outside looking in. So yeah, I would probably say Caden Proctor is the guy that I would say is the breakout or so player next year.
The other spot that we haven't mentioned, which is 27 minutes into an Iowa football podcast, tight end. You know, like we got Laporta and Kittle balling out for us in the playoffs. Hockenson, obviously, Noah Fant, Luke Lachey, I mean, I've been projecting him to like ball out and just go off for 2 years now. Obviously, tough injury earlier in the season. He'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
We have another kid named Addison Ostrenga who got some good time. Those two in Iowa's offense, and again, new offensive coordinator. We'll see how much Tim, he said he likes to use tight ends, said he likes tight ends. We need that around Iowa City. Those two tight ends, I mean, if Lachey and Eric All, who will be in the draft upcoming as well, those two were going to be top 5 tight ends probably this year if they both don't get hurt. So I would watch out on your side, Max, for the Iowa tight ends because they could always make an appearance.
You just saved me, man, because I haven't put out my tight ends list yet, but I like completely blanked on Luke Lachey. I almost assumed that he was in the draft. So I literally just wrote his name down on my list right now is to go back and watch him more because I loved him last year. And
he'll be in your top 10. He will be.
Yeah, exactly. You saved, like I said, I can almost guarantee you will be my top 10. I can't believe I almost forgot him. So that was, I loved him last year. The injury was brutal. Iowa, I mean, yeah, listen, their offense was bad last year, but also you have to keep in mind, like they were ravaged by injuries on that offensive side of the ball too. Like Cade McNamara, Eric All, Luke Lachey. I mean, they got killed by injuries last year. I think Luke Lachey is definitely another guy that I can't believe I forgot about. And he's definitely a guy that I think is certainly one of the top tight ends in the country next year, which should be a much weaker tight end position. You lose a lot of really good tight ends from college football this past year. Obviously, Brock Bowers, Jatavion Sanders, other guys like that. Luke Lachey should be one of the top returning ones for sure.
Love that. Love to hear that. Just touchdowns all over the place in Iowa City.
Yep.
Max, we appreciate your time. 30 minutes in and out. I'm sure you have like 12 more podcasts to do today. You're just pumping out content on crazy. Where can people find you, dude?
Yeah, you can find me at Max Chadwick CFB on X, I guess you call it now. And then also at PFF.com. Bunch of, like I said, the top 10 players, every position is coming out starting today. And then also, like you mentioned before, our preferred walk-on. It's on YouTube and anywhere you get your podcasts as well.
Love it. Max Chadwick, thank you for joining us. Thank you guys for listening to the episode. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.